Welcome to the Camp Constitution Report with your host, Hal Shurtleff. This report is brought to you by, of course, catchingfire.news. And a special shout out to not only our producer, Elaine, but Tom Deweese for making this happen. This, I think, is my fourth show, and I'm going solo today. And what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about success stories and things that you can do on your own or with a small group of people and how you can make profound difference. First off, Camp Constitution is a charitable trust based in New Hampshire, and we run a week-long family camp, weekend retreats, ladies' retreats. We host a radio show and, of course, this show. We have a speakers bureau. We house the Samuel Blumenfeld Archives, which is a great online resource for homeschoolers, educators, historians, or people with an active intellect. And our website's campconstitution.net. We also have a YouTube channel. We have a Podomatic. A lot of our site, a lot of our radio show is on about 15 different platforms. And we keep busy during the year. You can go to our website, you see a calendar of some of the activities. And if you're interested in bringing a speaker to your area, just check us out, see what we have to. We have a lot of great speakers, and we'll love to come to your particular communities, your neighborhoods. Now, I've been an activist for many, many years, and I lived in Boston. I'm up in New Hampshire now. I say somewhat no longer behind enemy lines. But even in Boston, even in some of these so-called blue cities, you can have an impact. You can really make a difference. And I'll give you an example. I lived for a while in the West Roxbury section of Boston, and I was an avid letter writer. It's really important to wherever you are, get in touch with your local community. Practically every community, whether it be a town or county, they have local newspapers that are free, weekly newspapers. Now, the print media has gone down quite a bit. The daily newspapers, you pick up from, 10, 20 years ago, most people had their paper home delivered, and that's where you got most of your news. Actually, even going back 30 years ago, never mind 10 years ago. But as time moved on, the internet and other alternatives has made the print newspaper media not so powerful. In fact, when the Boston Globe did a story about Camp Constitution back in February of this year, I actually bought a copy of the Globe for $3.50. It used to be, you remember, there used to be 10 cents and 25, went up to 50 cents for a while. The paper was a real shell of itself. I mean, it used to be, pretty thick, and now it's pretty thin. And that goes for, again, most daily newspapers. Most of the stuff's online. But you can still, with these weekly newspapers, these things stay around for a whole week as opposed to a daily paper. And what I've done is that I would go onto the masthead, see who the editor is, see some of the reporters, and get to know them. And many times the reporters are looking for news stories. And so if they know you, and they may come to your event if you host a presentation or a video showing at your local library. And it comes to having an impact in your community. Many of us, rightfully, we may not want to open our homes to strangers, which I don't blame you, although you should be able to host events. So we have a few acres, 2.5-3 acres here, and we had a couple of great events last year. Three events. We had 60 to 70 people for July 4th, and we had a great time. But you have a lot of community rooms. Libraries usually make their rooms available free of charge. You might have a university, a college, even a school, private school, American Legion halls, and many of these are relatively inexpensive, and where you can draw a crowd and get some people out. So with the local newspapers, the best way to write a letter is to respond to something that you've seen. And I did so when I was in West Roxbury. There'd be all kinds of opportunities to expose, for example, Agenda 21. They would run the city news releases. It'd be an article, but it was almost basically a reporter just taking the news release and doing very little else with it. And so I would rebut that. And I always, when I write a letter, I use the term altar call. In a lot of churches, Christian churches, the end of the service, the pastor would say, come up to the altar and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. With a letter to the editor, I say the altar call, meaning when you end the letter, I would say, for more information, readers who would like more information, please contact me or contact somebody or an organization. Now, so I don't mind people contacting me via email. It doesn't bother me, or write me a letter, but some people might be a little worried about that. Then you could, for example, if you write a letter and you're posting information about Agenda 21, I'm sure you could use a link to American Policy Center or Camp Constitution, or find out maybe there's somebody in the community that doesn't have a problem with that and they'd be happy to get that. So over the years, I've made a lot of great contacts by offering free copies of the Constitution or information about Agenda 21, a reprint or an article or something of that nature. Now, since moving here to Alton, New Hampshire, which is a relatively conservative area, I didn't really know a lot of people in Alton. I knew a couple, but not too well. I immediately got involved with a local, something called the Tri-County Republicans, and a local newspaper called the Weir's Times. Actually, there's two newspapers. And I got to know the editor of one of them because he attends a church that I've been visiting. And he said to me, hey, anytime you want to write an article, we'll publish whatever you send. And every month I submit an article, he publishes it. And I have that little author call for more information or a free copy of the Constitution. I must have got about 40 or 50 responses. And, you know, constitutions, you can get them for like 35 cents a piece, 100 at a time or more. But what I do is, you know, I get them by 1,000 at a time. Most people can't do that. But I even got donations. I'll get one person send me a check for $150. He said, keep doing what you're doing. Another man that I met in the area ended up funding one of our publishing projects of the 1928 U.S. Army Manual, which we put back in print for the first time, probably in over 100 years. But it's all about networking with people. And this Weir's Times, not only do they run my articles, but they also run my news releases in total with nice color pictures and all that. And we'll promote any event. Also radio. There's a lot, the big 50,000 watt stations, probably not as amenable. That doesn't mean they won't be, but there's a lot of local stations. I'd say go right in the studio. Go right into the station, meet the sales manager, meet the producer. And when we did that, just recently, I reached out to a Christian station that's in Rochester, New Hampshire, about 20 minutes away. When I said reach out, in this case, I just went to the website where they have contact information, and I put some information and I copy and pasted an event that we were holding here in Alton. I get a call a few days later, and the lady was so excited, and she said, well, do you have anything going on in Maine? I said, well, sure. Well, we have a bunch of stations in Maine, and we'd like to feature you on a regular basis, you know, Camp Constitution. So it's all these easy things that it just make the effort to reach out to people. You'd be surprised, you know. I think the Bible says you knock on the door, door will be open to you, but you still have to knock first. And so it's been very gratifying. So back to West Roxbury, shows you about the impact you have. They try to do what they call complete streets in West Roxbury. Now, those of us who are familiar with Agenda 21, we know that these so-called complete streets is part of the idea of getting as few cars into the city, into the communities. And they call them calming. There's another term for it, calming roads, where you might have a 2 or 3 lane road and they put it onto one lane, put bike paths. In fact, these bike paths are actually very dangerous, especially when you put a bike path on a road or a street that was not designed for bicycles. You have a high volume of traffic, and all of a sudden you've got bike lanes on both sides of the street. And sometimes these bike lanes end where that Mack truck begins. It's just amazing. And there's been fatalities, bicycle people getting killed on their bikes has gone up about 300% in the last 4 or 5 years. And that's because of these bike paths being built in cities and roads that weren't designed. So they tried to do this in West Roxbury. And I wrote a few letters about what this means and why it's a bad idea and so forth. And West Roxbury did not build the complete streets. And I wasn't the only one that was against it, but I like to think I had a little role in its defeat. In fact, I think it was like 75% of the people in the community were against it, where they just had them in various neighborhoods nearby where they had already adopted these things. Last year, I've been up here now since December of 2020, and last year there was a very tragic accident. A motorcyclist was killed on the street that they wanted to turn into a complete street, and some triggered leftist accused me specifically of having being responsible for this man's death. And I thought, wait, but this is kind of absurd. So what he was saying is that because people of listening to you, they didn't build these bike paths. Therefore, had we had the bike paths, this motorcyclist would have been killed. Well, of course, you can't. There's no way you could make that case whatsoever. But the bottom line is that he, this triggered leftist, thought that my letters to the editor were so impactful that it prevented an aspect of Agenda 21 coming to Boston. And again, it's just amazing what you can do now since. Since Agenda 21, well, it's been around since 92, but I believe it was 2011 when it was a lot of people were feeling the impact of it. And one of the places in Maine, Central Maine, and I get up there, I have a lot of friends up there. The new governor, conservative Republican governor, came into office, Paul LePage, and some people approached Paul and Governor LePage and told him about this thing called Gateway One, that it was nothing more than an Agenda 21 program, and they wanted to change Route One, they all kinds of things, implementing Agenda 21. So what we did, it was somebody, a friend of mine by the name of Cowan, Ted Cowan, wrote an article. I think he had it published in a couple of local newspapers, and we asked if we could reprint it. It's called Gateway One. And by the way, the term gateway is a term that the Agenda 21 people love to use. And that's almost an indication of you see the word term gateway, the gateway cities or gateway this or gateway. It's probably Agenda 21. Now, that is an old term. The Agenda 21 people didn't coin the term, but when you see gateway, you know it's probably, it kind of raises suspicion. So, what we did with this Gateway One, is that we reprinted it and we hand delivered it to selectmen and other elected officials in this particular region. I think it was about 30 different towns, and it was a little bit of footwork. And what's interesting too is that they cannot deny once the information's in their hands. They say, "I've never heard of Agenda 21." Well, you have now. In fact, this I don't know about five or six people approached the governor with this information. And within a day, the governor defunded the whole project, and Gateway One went out of business. I think it resurfaced. They lost all their state funding, lost some local funding. I think it resurfaced, and then we had this reprinted. We had it updated. We did the same thing. So even in areas like, Maine is so I guess you would call a purple state. If you didn't have Portland and Portland, Maine, if you didn't have the capital area. And Bangor, it'd be a pretty, it would be what we'd call red. Now, same thing in New Hampshire. In New Hampshire, there was something called Granite State Future. And Granite State Future was one of these entities set up, works with the HUD, Housing Urban Development, to implement Agenda 21 at the state level. And a friend of mine wrote in, Tim Carter, who was an activist, he lives up here in the Lakes region. He wrote an article called The Real Facts, and I got to meet Tim for the first time at an event that we were sponsoring with the late Dr. Michael Kaufman. Hope there's not too much glare on that. So at this event, he handed me the article, and I said, "Can we reprint this in a little booklet form?" And he said, "Absolutely." So in this case, it was a statewide thing, not just a local or regional or county. So this was a little more of an undertaking, but we were able to deliver copies of reprints of this in practically every town and city in New Hampshire. We had a number of people that offered their support. We had a friend fund the project. It wasn't that much. I think we made printed up a couple of thousand copies. And once I got word that these were hand delivered, not everybody got it in person, but they were either in their inbox, some of them in person. Then we would send them an email with a PDF version of this. So if they say, "Gee, I've never heard of Agenda 21," I said, "Well, you have now. It's undeniable." Okay, so you may not take any stance against it, but now you know. And it's hard to gauge, sometimes it's hard to gauge success, but we know that a lot of things have been slowed down. We know even in Keene, New Hampshire, a few years ago, they had this bill about vernal pools. And of course, a vernal pool is whatever the liberals say it is. You know, it could be a puddle. The puddle's there for 2 weeks out of in the springtime, and that's a vernal pool, and you can't do anything around and build. But even in Keene, we were able to, we didn't defeat this bill, but we got it changed so it became not as intrusive. I think they wanted to limit any type of building or any type of land use within so many feet of what they designate as a vernal pool on someone's private property. And we had some success, and it was a very close vote too. And Keene happened to be a member of ICLEI, the ICLEI, the National Council for Local Environmental Initiative. And we designed a flyer that we were able to distribute throughout the town or the city, and more people became aware of it. So these are things that we do, and that's things that you can do wherever you are as well. At one point, I came up with a resolution. It was supposed to be a resolution that was designed to be introduced to state legislatures. And I didn't write the whole thing. I think I got excerpts from different entities and put it together. And then what I did was I created one of my tech friends, he did, it would take me 5 weeks. He did it in about 10 minutes. He created 50 separate PDFs geared to each state with pretty much the same wording. And we posted them on our website and a few other social media places. And within a short time, the Southern Poverty Law Center was blaming me for a resolution that was introduced, I think, in Missouri and a few other places, because they got the resolution from one of these sites and they were able to download it and put it to use. And I thought that's great. In fact, the Southern Poverty Law Center, I think it was in 2015, did a feature story on Agenda 21, and Tom DeWeese was featured. I was second, and then it was a colleague of mine, John McManus, at the time. And he's third. I said, Jack, you're third. You should be up there number one. You know, you're not working hard enough. It was pretty funny. Another aspect of Agenda 21 is these banning of plastic bags and bottled water and water bottles and all this other stuff. And what I did I created this thing, a little flyer that we have on our website, and you're welcome to go to our website. You see the downloads, you can take it. It's called Don't Ban the Bag, Bag the Ban. And what we did is we got information from various sources. One of them was a plastic bag lobbying concern, and also a group called the Heartland Institute, which I know Tom attends some of their events over the years. I haven't been to one in a little while, but so they have great resources on their websites, and we just combined the information, and it was a one-page, two-side flyer, and we distributed these. And the city of Boston actually already had a ban, passed a ban, and some local liberals were very, very upset that I was getting these distributed. They would say, "Don't pay any attention to that Shurtleff and that right-wing nonsense about plastic bags." Well, putting up on our website, I wrote a blog about this availability. And a couple of weeks later, I got a phone call. It says Virginia. This gentleman said, "Hey, Mr. Shurtleff," he said, "I saw your I've downloaded the flyer on your website, and I'm here in a parking lot. I forget what town it was in Virginia. I'm passing these out." I says, "Great, good for you." And other people have reached out to me, and also YouTube and other video sites. We've hosted presentations on the subject of Agenda 21, and we upload the videos on YouTube, and now there's Rumble, and we're YouTube, of course, is like Twitter. They censor, and they don't really bother us with Agenda 21, but they always put disclaimers. Anything about climate, so-called climate change, that's critical, they put a disclaimer on there. And most people see through the disclaimer. But I forgot who the speaker was. I don't know if I was a speaker or whoever it was. But we got a lady in Oklahoma reached out to us. And she started her own group. And it was very encouraging. She just happened to see a video for something that happened in Maine or New Hampshire. And here she is, you know, doing the same thing in her town in Oklahoma. And we have all of the cases of this happening. Now, I think one of the best success stories happened a while ago, but it's definitely worth repeating. The town of Ringe, New Hampshire is a little town. In fact, Tom DeWeese interviewed Larry Cleveland a few years back, in the wake of this great success story. Now, Ringe, New Hampshire, is in the southwest part of the state of New Hampshire. It was where our summer camp or our family camp, we used to host it at a venue there. And so I was in town distributing these little booklets on Agenda 21. And I happened to, and Ringe is a conservative town, but what happens to a lot of these so-called conservative towns is that leftists move in. Conservatives are too busy working two jobs or working a full-time job and a part-time job. And when they get home, most of us, they just say, hey, we just want to chill. We want to fish. We want to hike. We want to hunt or whatever they do. But the left, that's not how they think. They come into a town to take over the political realm. And before you know it, it's completely changed. The taxes have gone up. You've got wind turbines everywhere, solar panels everywhere. The property tax has gone through the roof, and you have to move out because it's no longer a viable, livable community. So anyway, I happen to notice a copy of the town charrette. Now, for those of you who say, well, what's a charrette? It's a visionary session. Visionary session is where these so-called experts or change agents come into a town, and they bring in what they call the stakeholders, those who are probably making money off Agenda 21, whether it's someone who's building a new road or putting in solar panels or selling solar panels or some capacity. So those are the people that are making money from this, the so-called stakeholders. Then you have the left-wing ideologue that show up who just love this. And then you have some people who are just innocently going there thinking that their input has something that will make a difference. Well, it really doesn't. They've already got the plan on the shelf, and they come out and they have these, they have about 10 tables or maybe 20 tables, six at a table. And they have a so-called facilitator at each table, and they come up and say, what do you want to see in Ringe in the next 10 years? You know, good drinking water, something like a community room for the children or better schools or whatever the case is. And at the end of it, you go back and say, gee, the people in there really thought they had some interest. So next thing you know, there's warrant articles or items that the town officials are putting up there. So, well, you folks wanted this. So, hey, we're going to put a big wind turbine here on the mountain, and we're going to take these 300 acres of pristine fields, and we're going to put solar panels because that's what you want. So anyway, I got a copy of this. So I went home and I wrote a letter to the local newspaper, the Monadnock Ledger. It comes out twice a week. And I don't even know if they ever ran my letter, but I copied and pasted the letter on the Town of Ringe Facebook page, the whole thing. And a gentleman, Larry Cleveland, got a hold of me, and he said, you know, Hal, I didn't know anything about this, but I see people behind it that I know I don't like. They're not good for the town. They're leftists, and they're not really good. They just moved in the last 4 or 5 years, and I don't like what they're doing. So I met with him, and he spent a little time studying, and I did recommend the American Policy Center and a few other websites, and he started a group called Save Our Town. And this would have been, I'm thinking about 2012 in the fall. They hold their town elections in March, and they have what they call warrant articles, which are binding resolutions. So. And one of the warrant articles was anytime HUD spends or gives money to the town, it has to be voted upon. It has to be in a general election. So the HUD was funding these projects unbeknown to most of the citizens. I had no idea what was happening. It wasn't even going to the town selectmen. It was going to the town planning board. So they come in. They don't even bother going to the governor, the state legislator, and even the town officials. They go right to the planning boards, and they start promoting this stuff. And let me see. There was a few other resolutions, and one of them dealt with this the solar panel that was defeated. And I can't remember the third one, but they all defeated by like 75-25. It was a major defeat for the left in this town, and. Also, a couple of pro-liberty selectmen were elected, and the town manager who was bringing this stuff in covertly ended up resigning and moving out of town. And in the wake of that, they were coming after Larry, and they're coming after me, vilifying us. And I thought it was great. Larry was, they even started a blog against us, which they've since taken down. But this was, it was a great success story. And in the, again, after all this happened, the group was formed, and their goal was to make sure that there's always people at these meetings, whether it be a planning board meeting, a school committee meeting, or town committee meeting, that will have an impact and a presence. And so since then, the town has not adopted any of these things. In my town of Alton, New Hampshire, they got out of the Lake Winnipesaukee regional something or other, one of these regional entities that's a building block towards Agenda 21. And I, again, that's because of educating and informing people and putting a little feet on some of this material and getting it distributed. I also want to point out too, the late Rosa Corey, we didn't agree on some issues, but she was a group called Democrats Against Agenda 21. She's since passed away, unfortunately. But she, I didn't meet her in person, but she was giving a presentation in a town, and I was like not too far away doing a similar thing. So our paths didn't cross, but she brought to attention this thing called Rescue Mission Planet Earth. Was published by the United Nations, or the Children of the World, and it was called a children's edition of Agenda 21. Now, back in when Agenda 21 was first presented to the world, you could say Agenda 21, and people didn't get too upset. As time went on and Agenda 21 became more exposed or more controversial, the minute you said Agenda 21, it was, oh, it doesn't exist, or that's harmless and nothing to do with it. But this kind of disproves that. I said, no. I said, that's a real term. It's not a conspiracy theory. And here, right here, was this this booklet. And it's the, some of the most vile propaganda I've ever seen. You imagine little 8-9-year-olds worrying about too many people in the world, you know, sitting there worrying about, unless they're being brainwashed, right? And so what we did is we put it in a PDF format. And it said that the book was written by the Children of the World, and I happen to be the father of five, so I got their permission. And we put it up on our website. You can download it. So when people tell you, oh, this is just a conspiracy theory, really? Well, how come they didn't have a problem using the term Agenda 21 back then? You know, so this is just some of the information that we make available and some of the things that we do as a freedom organization. And the opportunities are just unlimited. There's another, I mentioned radio stations, but also calling in radio talk show hosts and getting to know some of these hosts. You know, there was a talk show host in Connecticut. Now, this is going back more than a few years. He was very hostile initially to some of this information. He used to do spoofs on it. You know, I think he had a dentist, a new dentist down, and he, oh, you graduate from here, and you did this. Is it true that you're a member of the Trilateral Commission? You know, and we thought that was pretty funny. Well, a friend of mine heard the show, and he mailed him a book called The Shadows of Power, written by my friend Jim Perloff. And this guy read the book. He got a hold of me, and we became good friends. And I was a regular guest at least once a month, and I would introduce him to all kinds of guests. So he completely changed his format from, you know, being not, he wasn't a leftist, but he was trying to just make people laugh, be entertaining, but he turned it into a serious, with some humor, of course, but, and that was because somebody mailed him a book. So I recommend doing that too, as well. Just recently, a lady, a friend of mine put me in, told me of that a school in her town of Henneker, New Hampshire. They had a Model UN day or Model UN project, which a lot of schools do. So what I did was I got her mailing address, the school, and found exactly social studies. And I mailed her a book called Freedom on the Altar, written by my late friend Will Grigg about the UN. And I also put in a little booklet that we just reprinted. The name of the school is called John Stark. So we did a little biography, reprinted a little booklet about John Stark. And I put in a copy of the Constitution. And I said, I understand in my short letter, I didn't call her names. I didn't say she's a brainwashed lefty. I just said, I understand that, you run the Model UN project. I said, I want to enclose as a copy of a book that takes a different perspective on the UN that you do. And it was written by my late friend who attended many of these UN meetings around the world and saw firsthand. And this is why he was troubled by what he saw, and he wrote this book. I also offered to give copies of the Constitution to all her students and copies of the John Stark booklet. Now, she may never get a hold of me. I don't know. I did that 2 weeks ago. But it's an opportunity. Just a few years ago, we donated 2,500 copies of the U.S. Constitution to Manchester Public School High School. It was a senior, I guess it was the whole, I don't know how big the school is, because one of our friends who happened to get elected to the school committee was asked by the superintendent, who was a conservative. He said, look, do you know of any organizations willing to do this? He says, yeah, Camp Constitution. So we did that. And those constitutions were in turn donated to me. So you just never know the opportunities you have. But I know if you do not reach out to people, if you do not make an effort to do that, you won't have any success whatsoever. So I want to thank you for watching this show. And I do encourage you to not just watch this show, but other programs on catchingfire.news. And please sign up and share this information. And with that, thank you, and may, I don't know when this will be posted, but if it's the next few days, may you have a blessed Resurrection Sunday. Thank you.